case number 722-868. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Chief, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Yes, Marshall Porter, P-O-R-T-E-R, Police Chief and Issuing Authority for the Town of Glastonbury.
Okay. And Chief, would you like to make a brief introductory statement?
I would. Thank you. Good morning. During the background investigation, it was discovered that the applicant had been involved in two prior police investigations in which he was intoxicated, expressed suicidal ideations, and in one of those incidents caused a serious motor vehicle accident which injured another person. The appellant was subsequently arrested, prosecuted, and convicted. And I am prepared to testify in greater detail as to those two incidents, but this is a denial based on suitability before you.
Thank you,
Chief. I will not have any witnesses to call.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
I did actually submit an opening statement. I don't know if it's too long, but the incidents that the chief has described, you know, were not my best. I don't want them to define my my life for the, you know, for the remainder of what it is. I don't want to be seen as that type of person anymore. It's been almost a decade since the 2015 incident. It's been 11 years since the 2013 incident. And both of them were, you know, very, felt much guilt for. But consequently, I was able to go through several treatment programs, and they were both state and personal. Stay required, and I went in on my own as well. I think some of the details in the police report might be a little hyperbolic or exaggerated, but I understand that the behavior in those two incidents is not suitable. However, I again have completed all treatment programs and have letters from my doctors stating that I am a individual of sound mind and body, and I am capable of obtaining and using a firearm if necessary, but not, I am in no rush to purchase or get a firearm. I just wanted to come here to basically protect my reputation. Even if I'm denied, I just wanted to come in here and say that I am a different person than I was 11 years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, I am an avid outdoorsman. It was fishing license, driver, you know, I was getting my first passport at the time when I applied. I was just checking the list, and then hunting came along, and I applied for my pistol permit because it covered a range of rifles to handguns. So I was just trying to check the boxes for if an opportunity arose for, you know, an outing in the great outdoors, I would be able to do and pursue my interests.
Okay.
And again, the first thing that happened.
Well, we're gonna get into your whole case.
Oh, go ahead, first go ahead.
This is opening statement.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Chief, you may proceed.
Thank you. I do understand that the appellant has introduced several documents to the board. He provided those to me late yesterday afternoon as well. Those documents did include, as the appellant mentioned, two letters from doctors that treated him. Again, I received them late yesterday afternoon. Given that late notice, I've not been able to call them for cross-examination, so I would object to their introduction as evidence in this case.
Are those the 419?
And March 4th, yes.
If I may, I did submit them on time for the board.
Did you submit them to the chief?
It said in my letter to submit them to the board, not to the chief.
What does the letter say?
If they give it to us 10 days in advance, that's on us. I mean, anything after 10 or less than 10 days, he would need to submit them to the chief also.
When the chief called me yesterday to make sure this we were going through with this, I said I will have to provide all the documents necessary just to give him a heads up.
So how else would the chief get them if he doesn't provide them to the chief?
I don't know. I mean, I send packets. I don't know. I didn't send you the completed packet. No.
So he gets a packet. Does he get the same packet we do?
I mean, we never used to do that.
Yep.
To send the completed packets.
Yeah.
I do it to the state just because they would ask for it.
Okay.
But.
I also have witness statements that I submitted as well. And that was on time.
Chief, I'm going to allow them for now, if you want to proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I did deny the appellant's application for a permit on July 26, 2021, and my decision was based on the two prior mentioned incidents where the appellant had been intoxicated and made self-harm or suicidal statements. The incident in 2013 involved the Glastonbury Police Department investigation where officers responded to a request for assistance involving an incident with the appellant. The appellant was reportedly depressed over a recent job loss, consumed an entire bottle of wine, engaged in destructive behavior at home, including smashing a drinking glass and then threatening to harm himself with it. The appellant's mother reportedly called one of his friends to come to the house to try and calm him down. The appellant was reportedly in treatment at that time and on medication for depression and anxiety. As the appellant's mother was driving him to the hospital for treatment, she stopped at a red light at an intersection, Route 17 and Main Street, at which point the appellant jumped out of the car, which is when the police were called. Investigating officers did locate the appellant, and based on his history of depression and anxiety, self-injurious behavior, and alcohol consumption, officers believed it warranted an emergency examination request, and they did give that request. The second incident occurred 2 years later in New Hampshire. It was an incident that was investigated by the New Hampshire State Police. The appellant was involved in a serious motor vehicle accident in which he collided with another vehicle at high rate of speed, causing injury to the other driver and totaling both vehicles. But according to the police reports, prior to the collision, the appellant was driving erratically at speeds approaching 90 miles per hour. He was recklessly passing vehicles while driving in the breakdown lane, and at times was either sleeping or passed out behind the wheel of the vehicle. And he eventually turned directly into another vehicle, causing the accident. It's reported that while at the scene of the accident, the appellant became combative and uncooperative and verbally abusive to emergency responders and indicated a desire to end his life walking towards traffic at the accident scene. That behavior continued at the hospital where he was transported and is reported to have torn off monitors and IV lines, again expressing a desire to end his life to medical staff. Appellant was ultimately arrested and charged with aggravated DWI, DWI first degree, reckless conduct, and disorderly conduct. He ultimately pled guilty to aggravated DWI, paid a fine, was sentenced to 60 days incarceration, all but 5 days suspended, I believe, amongst other penalties and agreements. And so given the appellant's instances of alcohol misuse coupled with mental health concerns and instances of suicidal ideations, it is my opinion that he is not suitable to be issued a pistol.
Thank you, Chief. Sir, do you have any questions for the chief based on his testimony?
Questions for the chief. I don't have any specific questions for him. I just wanted to...
You're going to have a chance to go next, but do you have questions for him? We're just doing questions.
Oh, yeah. I guess I would say, is it possible that, you know, the opinion of you that you have at the moment could, you know, possibly... be swayed by the time it's been and my treatment since then.
I am prepared to ask questions of the appellant about his treatment and his reference letters when it's appropriate to do so.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Other questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Does the board have questions of the chief? Okay, seeing none, I know you said you had no other witnesses besides yourself. Okay, now you may tell us what you'd like us to know.
Okay, so first of all, the incidents that the chief described were not at all suitable at that time. I understand that. I feel guilt every day for that motor vehicle accident. The first thing I said when I got out of the car that day was, God, I hope I didn't hurt anybody. And so, you know, I carry that guilt for still to this day. Since then, I have not had any arrest or problems with alcohol or anything else. No traffic stops, no DUIs or treatments of that sort. So I have heard what the chief said, and I believe that some of the statements about me wanting to hurt myself were just me trying to gain attention at that time or to just be blustery. About the wine glass smashing, I believe I dropped it. I didn't smash it. It just scared my mother, and that was you know, obviously not good either. I did not intend to do that. I was having issues controlling my need for perfection at the time. So if I failed at my job, it would make me very upset. But since then, I have grown up. You know, I am very calm and stable. I don't have any of these alleged suicidal ideations. And at that time at the hospital in 2015, I was just saying that so that way they would hold me in the hospital longer so I wouldn't have to go to jail at that point. I was just trying to avoid just going into jail. but I did serve my time. And so I'm also, you know, an avid, contributing and constructive member of the community at this point in Glastonbury. I volunteer in several organizations and nonprofits in town. I also am not employed in the, I have a job, but it's like the gig economy where I sell things on eBay, that kind of thing, like a part-time job. But I don't believe that these incidents should have any merit or have any bearing on my decision for a pistol permit, temporary at least, application, because they have been so, it's been, you know, a decade, and I have been in treatment, and I have letters from not one but two doctors that state that I am mentally sound and am not a threat to myself or others. And this is as recent as you pointed out, for April 19th. I, like I said, am in no rush to purchase or go get a firearm. I was mainly just coming here because I thought it would be best to clear the air. I want the chief to know that I am a good member of the community, and I don't want him to think that I am some kind of menace in town. I forgot to mention, I also was a part of the emergency management team for some time at in Glastonbury. That was also, right, as the chief knows, right below the police station. So I am very active in the community. All of my treatments, all of my problems from the past have been resolved. I have letters stating that I am not a danger to myself or others. I think that this is sufficient to grant me a temporary pistol permit, and I believe that I'm a suitable candidate for that at this point.
Thank you. Chief, questions?
I do. With regards to the 2013 incident, you had mentioned in your opening statement that you felt it had been inaccurate, misunderstood, or exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned dropping versus smashing glass. Is that the extent of the inaccuracies that you're alleging?
I don't believe I was as aggressive as it states in there, and I was more, it was more on me, you know, versus like trying to hurt anybody around me or trying to disturb anybody around me. I was just trying to get myself to calm down at that point, because as you know, I was being treated for anxiety. The depression is kind of, I don't know if that's accurate as well. My main diagnosis is anxiety. So at that point in my life, I was a lot younger and had been not well diagnosed at that point.
But with regards to the police report?
The police report also states that, you know, that they were called because I jumped out of the car. I asked my mother if I could have a little bit more time before we went to the hospital. And so I asked her politely, I walked out of the car, she wasn't happy with it, you know, I didn't jump and run away. And then the police, you know, were able to find me right away. I was not hiding.
I want to direct your attention to the reference letter from Thomas Brown, Dr. Thomas
yes,
Brown, dated April 19, 2024. How long have you been in Dr. Brown's care?
It has to be almost a year now, but he is somebody new. I just transferred to a new psychiatrist for the reason that he is a anxiety specialist.
Okay. And so you're still under his care?
Yes, sir.
And he's treating you, you just said, for anxiety?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is Dr. Brown's treatment for anxiety related to the aforementioned incidents in 2013 and 2015?
In 2015, that was also a problem for anxiety. I was not able to control it, or I was not treated properly at that point.
Okay, but let me just clarify. Is Dr. Brown treating you for those two prior incidents? Is he aware of those two prior incidents?
Yes, he is.
He is.
Yes, I'm being as transparent as possible.
Okay. Would it surprise you if I were to tell you that I talked to Dr. Brown this morning?
No, that would be fine.
And that Dr. Brown stated to me that he was completely unaware of the two prior incidences, and as a result, he wants to withdraw his letter of recommendation for you?
Oh, I was not aware of that. I mean, I had several conversations with him where I stated, you know, I brought the letter that you had sent denying it for those two, and I had spoken to him about it. I'm unaware of why he would want to do that.
Well, that was the conversation I had with him this morning.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate.
If I talk to Dr. Morris, and I've not been able to talk to him yet because of the late notice,
he should be as well aware of
the same thing.
As far as I'm aware, they were both noticed. I'm not trying to hide anything. I thought that they both knew this. Yes.
I don't have any further questions.
Why did you think Dr. Brown knew about that?
Because I brought in all the documents that were submitted, from the board of, I'm sorry, the denial letter from Chief Porter, and I thought I had explained both of these to him at that point. So I'm willing to go back to him and ask him again, because that doesn't seem to, doesn't seem to be what I recall of the conversation.
So you showed the doctor the letter?
Yes.
Did you tell him, did you talk about the incidents in 2013 and 2015?
I asked him if it was okay to write this letter for me based on the fact that I was denied and presented him this letter. And he asked me, you know, these incidents were long resolved, so we didn't get into any great detail about it. But he was aware of the incidents.
Just from the letter? For instance, did you talk about
right
the
here,
details
right.
of what happened in 2013 with the drinking and the smash or dropping, whatever happened with the glass, the emergency committal?
No, that was not discussed. It was a quick conversation, I'm not going to lie. He told me that he would write this letter for me, and I had shown him this, the denial letter. And I explained to him that these incidents were, you know, resolved. I had gone to treatment for them, and I provided also in the documents you may have all of the treatment that I had been through for these incidents.
So the doctor had no knowledge of the 2013 and 2015 incidents that were the basis of your denial until you showed him the denial letter?
Correct.
Sorry, I just jumped on the question wagon.
No, I wouldn't have received.
Sir,
sorry.
Does the board have questions?
Yeah, I'll
go ahead.
You testified earlier that one or both were related to your anxiety disorder, and yet you didn't tell the doctor who wrote the letter for this board anything about that.
I did tell him about this. I explained to him that I had been rejected for the temporary pistol permit, and I said these incidents are why, and I presented him this letter.
It seems like you just told him about the incident and that you've received treatment and kind of closed the door without saying what exactly happened and why.
I believe he was under the impression that because it was so long ago and because I had already received treatment for it, that it was resolved.
But it was an anxiety issue then, and you're being treated for anxiety now. So how are you not connecting the two doors with your doctor?
The issue is that I am, at this point in my life, and for the past 10 years since these incidents, have been psychologically stable and mentally sound, and both doctors can see that. All of my treatment that has been provided to me, their opinion of me is that I am psychologically stable.
But you don't think you put Dr. Brown in a bad position by not giving him full information before writing the
letter? I honestly would not have hid it from him. He's a busy person, so it was kind of in and out of the door, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
What were the injuries caused by the 2015 accident?
I believe the other driver had a slight head injury. And I'm not sure about his body, but I was very concerned about that.
So you don't know?
I believe in the police report says he has a head injury.
Did he sue you?
No.
Do you see why it's a problem for the board that your doctor doesn't seem to know about either one of these incidents?
Yeah, that's really weird, honestly. I would love to go and speak to him, make an appointment, and explain this to him further in greater detail, because I don't believe that's, we need to rectify this for sure.
Other questions by the board? I'll ask it since the chief's not up here. Do you still have a drinking problem?
No, ma'am.
When's the last time you had a drink?
I have an occasional cider once a week, twice a week, but I don't drink any hard alcohol anymore. I don't drink to excess. I never drive while drinking. Everything's at home. I also provided a witness statement from my mother, who I live with, and she can testify to that as well.
Is she here?
She is not, but I did submit a letter.
If we have it in our packet, then
it's there, but I'm not sure it's says anything about.
Did you ask her to testify today?
I didn't realize she had to come, but I
thought. Well, it's your case, sir. Did you ask her?
Well, I just thought that the letter would be sufficient.
It does not mention anything about drinking.
It does not. But it says that my medical care and completed every necessary assessment and successfully, and that success continues to the present day.
I think you're diverting from my question. When's the last time you had a drink?
A week ago.
And how many drinks did you have?
Two.
Two?
Yeah. All right. And that was at home after, you know, a long, long day at, you know, nighttime. I was not driving at all.
How many times have you been to treatment for alcohol?
Just this one time.
I thought you said there was multiple treatment. Is that, you said multiple treatment programs.
This was court ordered here. It was at the same time that I also went to Rushford. But the Amethyst Foundation and the other IOP program, I believe, was my own. This was in October 8th of 2015, and then the other treatment was Amethyst Foundation. That was court ordered, and that was 11/20/15.
And 2 years on an interlock device.
And 2 years on an interlock device, correct.
Any other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses today?
I do not.
Okay, would you like to make a closing statement?
I apologize for the lack of detail for Dr. Brown's letter. I will go and speak to him about the matter. I understand, again, if there's no resolution today. Like I said, I wanted to just come and show that I am, you know, I have grown a lot since then. And I do not want, especially Chief or anybody in town, you know, because I love the town so much, to think that I am some kind of mental case, basically. But I, you know, like you said, I am not in any rush to acquire or purchase a firearm. So I would just like to say that that thank you for your time, and I hope I can try to rectify this letter with Dr. Brown.
Closing statement, Chief.
Thank you. So when determining whether an applicant is suitable to possess a permit, I take prior instances of substance abuse, mental health concerns and resulting behaviors very seriously, particularly where there are incidents involving, as there are in this case, injuries, accidents, loss of self-control, instances of self-harm, or threatened self-harm. In this case, the applicant became intoxicated on two occasions, caused a serious motor vehicle accident with injuries, and destroyed property, and in both cases threatened self-harm. Appellant has indicated that the prior incidents have been resolved. I would argue that they've not been resolved. I would argue that 10 years later, the appellant is still in treatment for the same issues, and that they certainly should be considered relevant in determining whether or not he should receive a permit. As you know, the appellant's provided two letters from mental health professionals. As I mentioned, I did speak to one of those doctors this morning, and we've been very, very clear that he had absolutely no knowledge of the two prior incidents that have led us here today. I suspect that I may get the same answer if I were able to contact Dr. Morris. Additionally, of course, I'm not able to cross-examine either of the doctors given the late notice. I would just ask the board to seriously consider those facts and rule in favor of the issuing authority in the interest of public safety and certainly in the interest of the appellate. Thank you.
Thank you both. Comments by the board?
Okay.
Attorney Stenning.
Okay. The circumstances surrounding the DUI back in 2015 are pretty shocking. You know,
yes, sir.
I mean, intoxicated driving, high-speed collision, injury-causing, combative behavior in the hospital.
Yes,
that's pretty shocking behavior. I think you're sincere in turning your life around since then, but the fact that you're still being treated for anxiety and that fact that you're in no real rush to get a permit, seems to me that my vote will be to deny your application at this time, and perhaps down the road you'll be treated for anxiety, you will get better letters from treating physicians and references, and if you chose to apply at some future date, the record will be more clear, more time will have passed, and we might, I might change my opinion, but as of now, I'm having trouble.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Other comments? Just in case I wasn't clear, it seemed pretty obvious to me that the chief caught you off guard when he asked you if your doctor knew about the two previous incidents.
Yes.
And you said he did, and then the chief really caught you off guard when he indicated he spoke to your doctor, which I commend him for. So I don't know that that rises to a level of perjury, but it certainly rises to a level of not being forthcoming to this board or the chief. Or your doctor, it seems. So certainly, I give very little weight to the letters that you submitted, especially given the chief testified Dr.
Brown
wants to withdraw his letter and the fact that we have absolutely no treatment records to back up whatever treatment you're going through, which we would certainly be interested in given the gravity of both situations. So that's my comment. So no other comments? Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority at this time.
Chair votes issuing authority. 5-0 in favor of issuing authority. Thank you both.